Hello, everyone. I'm John Melki. It's a pleasure to welcome Shebaniya Muhammad, Executive Director at 21st Century Preparatory School in Racine. 21st Century is a 4K through 8th grade independent public charter school, which opened in fall 2002 through authorization from the University of Wisconsin-Parkside and the University of Wisconsin System Board of Regents. Sheb, glad you could be with us today.
Thank you for having me today, John.
Let's start out. Tell us a little bit about what makes a charter school different from other elementary and middle schools.
A charter school is independent of a general school district and system. And so you can have an independent private charter or you can have a public charter. And in the case of 21st Century Prep, we have a public charter. This charter, like you said, by UW Parkside. And being a public charter, we still are held accountable to the state Department of Public Instruction for Wisconsin. So we do the state testing. We upload our information, staff rosters, special education information, all the things that a general school district would do. But the luxury and beauty is being a charter school. You have some freedoms around the rules and regulations and requirements. You can be very innovative with your curriculum. You can be innovative with how you deliver that curriculum. And, you know, what I look at it is also the ability to bring in partnerships and have a focus with the school. So in our case, leadership and the sciences, STEM. And so really improving that part of our curriculum. Students still get literacy, math, science, social studies, but being innovative, having STEM classes and part of what we're doing with our kids around, you know, leadership and core value traits. So that freedom to have the thought and be innovative, the freedom to really say, what can we do for all our kids without, I want to say, being rigid with some of the mandates in the general school system or district. We're able to have those freedoms to really be creative with what we do, how we do it, but still hold ourselves accountable to our parents, our students, and the state.
So when you're looking at some of those innovations, are you assessing, measuring what seems to be working, what may need a little tweaking or massaging, and then are you also able to make some changes maybe a little bit more quickly because of being the charter school?
Yes. So one, obviously, just like any school district, with the state reporting for the exam. And we're currently using STAR exam, you know, some of those academic metrics. But then we're looking at what are we doing around the curriculum. Usually in a school district, if you want to change the curriculum, there's a curriculum adoption, a period of examining different curriculums and going back and forth with the school board and the community. And so we don't have to do it as rigid in a sense. And so we can really examine it and move that curriculum adoption faster. Like they just went last year and brought in Amplify Science for middle school and then on down to elementary where, you know, the principals and the teachers looked at it, but didn't have to go through so many steps. We look at what do we want to do and improve and what our students need. We can move it faster. But also we're still using some of the same programs like Mobi Max, Reading AZ that other schools and school districts use that's, you know, research-based and move students along in the academic progress, but you can still be creative in how you use it and that for the most part in some school districts, you know, you want all your schools to a degree using some of the same things. And so we're not tied to that. If it's not working, we can say, we're bringing in that program that works best for our kids with what they need beyond that grade level curriculum because we want to move all our kids, medium, low, and high. So we have some freedoms to say we don't have to mirror everybody else. We can do what's working best for 21st Century Prep kids.
Interesting. So what was it about, kind of two questions here. Tell us a little bit about Sheb, how you get to 21st Century Preparatory School, and tell us a little bit about what was interesting about the opportunity, what motivated you to pursue this opportunity?
So looking at my career trajectory, saying, all right, you know, one goal, career goal is to be a school superintendent, right? What can I do in between now and then? And so apply for different jobs, you know, within RUSD, within KUSD, you know, then get it. You know, you look at, okay, what do I need to keep improving upon and grow in? An opportunity to apply for 21st Century Prep came about through me just looking online at things. And I read the job description, and then I researched the school. And looked at, oh, it's been in business for 16 years. It's a long time for a public charter. When we see how charters can come and go fast, when you really look at, and that's part of management. But I looked at that. I looked at their vision, their mission, the size of the school, you know, the population, looked at the state report cards. And what struck me is that really piqued my interest was that, one, it's a public charter. So they report to DPI. They report to the state and their stakeholders along with the rest of the school districts in the state. I said, all right, so there's a real set measure of accountability. But then looking at the mission and vision and saying how they want to prepare the kids to be leaders and prepare our kids to be thinkers, and how with what we do in the school to get them ready with the change in the way they change the classes, the class size. I said, I think I could do that. But let me apply and go forward. And so even in the application, the process, you know, I applied. I didn't hear back for a while, even for an interview. And I was like, well, that's it. I'm stuck. No.
On to the next one.
No, that was it. I was like, I'm done. I'm done. And then got the call, and it was on a Friday for interview on a Monday or Tuesday. Like, oh, I know it's short. I'll be there. I'll be ready. And so then went, and I had to show how serious I am about not just a job. I had a job. I don't want just a job, but I know my purpose in life, and that's to help others. Education is that venue for me to help others, and not just students, but families as a whole. And so, you know, go for an interview, and I say, okay. They say they want to talk and understand what my vision is for the school. They didn't ask for anything extra, but come for an interview. But I came prepared with that, what for me, with that vision and how to move it forward. And a PowerPoint. So at the end, I say, I want 21st Century Prep to be the best place for education for kids in the state, not just in Racine, not just Southeast Wisconsin. We want to be the best model of education, period, in the state and in America. And so the executive director role over the time at 21st Century used to be titled as superintendent, because in essence, you're managing a school district because of the roles and things that you have to do. And it's like, wow, I got my mini school district, because I still have to do all the reports to the state for Title I, for the Ford exam, the state report card, manage the day-to-day overall. You have two principals, make sure guide them with the academics and what are we doing around facilities management, working with the business manager and HR specialist. And so it's been a win-win to me. And so when they called me to say, hey, we want to offer you the job, I think before they got all of the words out, I had already said yes. Again, it was like, all right. I've always wanted to take what I've done and been able to do in Kenosha somewhere. And in a sense, start over and build based off my experiences. And I'm able to bring every, I know this sounds crazy, but every experience from growing up and into the careers, bring all those to 21st Century Prep and utilize them. And so it's like, it would've been crazy to turn it down and down the job out of any fear, because I'm leaving Kenosha Unified. I'm leaving a base. I'm leaving a support network in terms of people that I've worked with, learned from, or even helped grow into this, in a sense, this new world of charter in and of itself. And then you're in the city, and now it's like, you're it.
Yeah.
There's no principal or person to call and say, hey, you know what, this is not working. I need to transfer to a different school or something.
Right. But
I've been loving the job.
Yeah. And kind of back to what we were talking about a little bit ago with the flexibilities, now you do have the opportunity to use some of your creativeness, your thoughts, your own initiatives to say, here's how I would like to see us shape this educational experience, right?
Correct. And the interesting part now, as the executive director, the two principals report to me. So now, learning how to help them grow. And I told them, like, 5 years, my job is to get you all to grow. In 5 years, you should be home running your own schools. Mm-hmm. Out of here doing that. And they just looked at me like I was crazy. I'm like, trust me. You better not be here for longer than 5 years with me. Mm-mm. Yeah. Otherwise, I didn't do my job as your executive director and your mentor. So, but it's been interesting and wonderful guiding and working with them to set that vision and saying, what do our teachers need?
Yeah.
Where do we want to take them? How do we get there?
Yeah.
And taking a step back to let them lead and then just offering the suggestions, asking the questions to fulfill my vision, but our vision overall, because you can have any leader with a vision. But if the people are not with you, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And so I say, and they could tell you, we have a great team in place, not just the two principals and the business manager and HR specialist to the front office staff, and with all the teachers, that the excitement at the beginning of this year during teacher PD was just great, with returning staff, with the new staff. That's just been like, we're going to be all right.
Yeah.
And that's the feedback from them, though, for those that have been there previously, with, you know, the turnover with third executive director in 3 years. It's like shock to the system.
Yeah.
But just the energy that they feel coming from the leadership and the support we're giving them to not just say you need to do A, B, and C, but ask the questions. Mm-hmm. And I've always believed in empowering your staff, because they're on the ground.
Sure.
They're the troops in the trenches doing the work. So understanding what they need, supporting it, and guiding it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been fun.
Does it take a little bit for them to, do you notice that you come in there and you've got that philosophy a little bit of time before they go, okay, yeah, I guess I can follow this guy.
Yeah. Especially when it's, and I mean it in a bad way, but being a third executive director in 3 years, so that's three different personal visions.
Right.
There's three different leadership styles.
Yeah.
And then your two principals are basically new. It's like, all right, dude, you can talk it. Let's see you walk it. And so I say, I am who I am every day, all day.
Yeah.
I believe in having fun at work. And when people ask me, how was the day? It was fun. It's not the kind of answer you usually hear from somebody talking about work.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I enjoy it, even with the headaches, even with the long days. Meetings all day, it's like, all right, we accomplished something, though.
Yeah.
Because it may not take effect today or tomorrow, but what we're doing is putting systems and practices in place for the betterment of the students and the staff, that in the long run, you're going to see the fruits of those labors.
Yeah. Do you ever look back at your own education experience, and do you draw on that in terms of, you know, ways that someone, you know, a teacher approached some things or an administrator approached some things and say, oh, I can take that and use that over here. Or, oh, I wouldn't take that and use that over here. Or, does that come into play?
It always has. I remember when I stepped into a leadership role, I'll go back, stepped into a leadership role and started talking with teachers and staff and say, what do you remember? Oh. Or who was that teacher you remembered the most?
Yeah.
In school. And what do you remember about them? It's never this lesson they taught. It's the interaction. So growing up from Chicago, High Park Career Academy for high school, two favorite teachers, Mrs. Kilburn, she taught history, U.S. history, world history, and Mrs. Perry, who taught black history. And I could tell you what they taught, but it was really the interactions we had. Ms. Kilburn and I, we could laugh all day long, crack jokes. Mm-hmm. I remember senior year, she hated for people to sit on her desk. I sit on her desk. Chef, get off my desk. No, I'm Ms. Kilburn. And then sit in class and like, we're not taking notes today, Ms. Kilburn. And she'd say, you all know Chef's going to be here next year, so don't worry about it. But that interaction that went back and forth. And so I try to bring that when I taught. I love middle school, teaching middle school. Mm-hmm. And I treat them like my little brother and sister. I'm going to get on you when you're wrong. I'm going to support you when you're right and give you tough love. Mm-hmm. And I want you to do your best every day. And I will let them know, we're not always going to agree. You're not going to like it. I'm not going to like you.
Right.
Right in this moment, but you know I'm going to support you. So,
yeah. Yeah. And one of the things about 21st century, when I had the opportunity to be there with Chancellor Ford and UW System President Ray Cross about a month or so ago, for an elementary and middle school, students are moving around the building, aren't they? That's, mm-hmm. That's a little bit different than usual, isn't it?
Yeah. So what you have three classrooms at each grade level, and the students rotate classes for literacy, for math, for science. And so they're moving kindergarten all the way up through to the three different teachers for their core subjects. Mm-hmm. And while middle school, you're used to it, you could say fifth grade, people look at them like, would first graders really be able to handle that and manage that?
Yeah.
And they do. Kindergartners handle it and manage it. Uh-huh. And so you have teachers, the ones that were new to the school, that was like, is this going to work? Do we want to do that? Like, you set the expectations. The kids will do it.
Yeah.
And so it's even for me as the executive director coming and seeing it, we did that at Grant Elementary for our small group instruction where the kids moved between classrooms for literacy or math support groups,
okay. But
not as a whole, mm-hmm. but the kids there move as a whole. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, they can do it. You set the expectation. You let them know they can do it. You guide them on how.
Yeah.
Then the kids will do it. We set the limitations for them. They don't come in with limitations.
Yeah,
we do it as parents, as the uncles, as the teachers. Like, nope, keep the expectations high. Teach them what you need them to do. They'll do it.
Yeah.
And so just walking through the school and seeing our little pre-K kids to the eighth graders and just watching them. The kids are happy, and I like seeing happy kids.
Yeah.
Teachers are happy.
Yeah.
Yep. Do we have our moments of stress? Do we have moments of miscommunication? It's like, all right, it's a learning moment.
Sure.
But I look at every day, all the parents, they're dropping their kids off, they're picking them up. Speaking to them, those little moments like that, they'll share so much information about something they had a question about with the school or not. So being visible as executive director and our principals out there before school, out there after school, and just talking to our parents go a long way.
Yeah.
And there's parents and kids that have been there their whole career, and then they're going to high school with an RUSD. But over the years, there's parents that, nope, we love the school. We love what the school is doing.
Yeah.
And then, are you going to keep doing it? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah. That's my job.
Yeah. So, right. Yeah. And how important is that, the interaction with parents, grandparents, family members in terms of the success of kids today, whether it be at the elementary school level, the middle school level? That, you know, you talked a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. They're asking questions, so that, to me, says they're involved. Mm-hmm. They want to be involved. How important is that?
I think education is a partnership between the school and the parent. Mm-hmm. And then you add the community aspect. As much as we can do so much in the school every day, all day, we have more at school for education than there at home for education. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to meet the parents where they're at in the process, not you need to come to the school and meet me as the principal, or meet me as the teacher where I'm at. And so breaking that barrier and confusion sometimes and that miscommunication is just go out and talk to the parent.
Yeah.
You know, call the parent.
Yeah.
You know, we use Class Dojo. Dojo the parent. Email. So that way the parent know that we want to interact with them. We want them to be and need them to be a part of their child's education.
Yeah.
And understanding that too, not all parents are going to interact the same way, and it's okay.
Right.
You know, I learned it the hard way as a teacher, as a dean, as a principal. of imposing my ideas of how a parent should be involved. Rather looking at like, well, let me see where they're at and understand why they do or don't come.
Right.
You
right.
know, and some say, no, I just trust you as a teacher. Go do. Let me know what I need to do.
Yeah.
And others want that constant communication.
Right.
And it's okay. It's just like any other child. They're different. Parents are different. And they all want what's best for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And when we understand that, it's like, that's right. And sometimes we forget it. But every parent wants their kid to be successful.
Sure.
They may not express it the same way as the other parent or how we want them to express it. I say, if you come up to the school, my job is to talk to you.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're the parent that's there every day and mad every day, or the parent that's just there every day saying, what's going on? I'd rather have that parent there asking questions than the one that I never see.
Yeah.
Because I never know what they're thinking and how I can help them.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I do want to say that visit that you, when you, Chancellor Ford and President Cross and LaToya Holliday and everybody, was one of the best things for the school.
Good.
It really made an impression on the staff. And then the kids, like, who are they?
Yeah.
That a lasting impression that I don't think you all realized that in that moment in time, but to see not just the UW Parkside Chancellor.
Yeah.
It's like, you know,
yeah,
that's the president of the UW system at your school, right, at our school. And it was like, right, wow.
Yeah.
Very impactful.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I took away from it is, as we're walking down the hallway and, you know, here were the elementary school kids moving from class to class, and one young man stuck out his hand and said, how you doing today? And I shook his hand and I walked away and I thought, I just want like 10% of that kid's future. Whatever it is, I want 10% of it, because that, and it was like, he's going to say hi to me and didn't know who I was, but here I am. And mm-hmm. How you doing? What are some of the things that you talked a little bit about some of the new initiatives going on at 21st Century. Mm-hmm. What are some of those things that you're trying to put into place?
So, one, when we look at, we have STEM class
mm-hmm.
as an elective that every kid gets. And so brought in a guy, Sam Pete, that does coding in the summer at one of the centers in Racine. He's taught in KUSD and tech ed classes. Sam, I need you to make this a true STEM lab with coding mm-hmm. and those type of things. And so we talked. I said, you tell me what you need. My job is to find the money. Mm. And so mm-hmm. he found a coding program. So now he's working on teaching the kids actual coding. And then we, you know, like, how much? Found some money within our budget. And then we want to bring in Project Lead the Way Science within that STEM class. So every kid get that engineering aspect, get that technology aspect. And so it's like applying for some grants. We're going to see what happens. So that's one small piece that's going to pay off in the long run, exposing our kids to not just science and the life sciences, but that technology and engineering side, because that's the way the world is going. When we look at what's happening in Racine with Foxconn coming in,
sure,
you know, we have Amazon, we have the manufacturing, but a lot of that, in a sense, computer-based.
Correct, right.
And so you need to know automation. You need to know how to write a code for a program for this machine to move.
Mm-hmm.
And I think preparing our kids that way is going to go far mm-hmm. as they look at. We plan to see now that it won't blossom for a while. But
right.
then they know, I did have some engineering type of stuff. So that's on that one side.
Mm-hmm.
But also now, when we looked at what our teachers need, we contracted working with a group called ANET to help our teachers understand the standards, Common Core standards, aligned with our literacy and math programs, how to read the standards, how to break them down, how to short cycle test the kids, read that data to go back and inform your teaching and practices. And so we're doing professional development around that.
Mm-hmm.
So to prepare our teachers to give our kids the best. And then you couple that with, we're also doing small group instruction now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you teach to the whole group, somebody's going to get missed.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody needs that grade level standard.
Yeah.
Grade level curriculum. But with the small group instruction, now you can give the kids what they need to move them forward. Keep our high kids moving even higher. Get our middle right at grade level or below grade level kids to move to grade level and above.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond. Get our low kids, they may be 1 to 2 grade levels beyond to grow. You know, everybody's expected to grow 1 year. We need them to grow more than 1 year during the school year. So we're looking at that, and that's done with our principals. When we look at literacy in general, trying to, you know, improve the literacy at the elementary level. So by the time they move to middle school and beyond, they're prepared.
Yeah.
And so it's like Janet Elrod is our elementary principal, who her and I have been meeting and working some things on that. We're doing reading logs every month. And the kids, you know, that extrinsic excitement about it, so they get rewarded for that. And then every month, if they're reading, just they're reading what they like. It's 20 minutes a night, they get something. And then making sure we support the teachers around that. We bought books for every classroom. Like, hey, we're just going to give you some extra books. Not that they didn't have books, but let's get some newer books just from the school. And that's pre-K all the way to eighth grade. Here's some new books to help drive that literacy, some things that the kids may be interested in improving the circulation in our library. So, you know, we keep doing that just to keep it moving forward. And Tasia White is our middle school principal, who's really working with the staff around those standards and helping to break it down to move it forward and form your teaching practices. So it's going good.
Good. Well, you know, when we walk through and as we've chatted a little bit before, where the chancellor used an image from inside 21st century preparatory school during her presentation to the regents when they were here on campus a few weeks ago. And it says, welcome to the third grade class. Welcome to the class of 2032. And I had to stop and look at that and go, 2032, when is that? And so here, I mean, to me, that's a really interesting perspective on the fact that the students who are coming in third grade, fourth grade, they are the class of 2032 in the UW system. And so how do the chancellor used it as to say to the regents, the decisions that you're making today, yeah, they're important for the students who are there today, but they're probably even more important for the students who are the class of 2032 or 2035 or, you know, whatever it might be. Do students, when they're in third, fourth, fifth grade, do they get that, how far education can go? Or is it something where you're kind of working with them so that they understand that the path is available?
So knowing the child's brain and that thought, a third grader really is just today and tomorrow. Yeah, eighth grader definitely understands it more and better than a third grader. But our job as educators is to let them know their future is coming. Let them see it. Let them see how they can be in the future.
Yeah.
And so, like you've seen on that board out there, that class of 2032 with the colleges
right
around there.
Yeah.
It's like, we need to let our kids know, pre-K, all the way up, you're going to college.
Yeah.
No, we're going to make you college or prepare you to be college and career ready.
Right.
And so, I always said it in years ago, we plant those seeds that will not germinate. That tree will not grow for years sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have what we call encore days. And so each quarter around STEM and different subject areas. And I said, we want to bring in career days of people from the different walks of life so they can see that. The kids can see people like them in these different careers.
Now, yeah.
Again, they may not understand what an engineer does or a physician. They may get in eighth grade, like, I remember a physician came to the school when I was in third grade. But that's that seed that's planted that it'll sit, it's going to germinate and sprout at the right time. We all could attest that just even in life as adults, some thought is like, man, that was an experience 2 years ago. Now I've just remembered it and it's useful.
Yeah.
And so constantly putting that out. I have, not that I have a lot of kids in my office, but, you know, college pendants up. You know, it's like, that's where our kids got to go.
Yeah.
We need to prepare them that way. So I need to give my principals and teachers whatever they need to get our children ready for that.
Yeah. Well, the time always flies by very quickly on the show, and today even more so. The conversation's been really interesting. I've learned a lot about 21st century preparatory school. And Sheb, what for parents, family members that want to know more about 21st century, how do they connect?
All right. Well, obviously they can go to the website, and the web address is www.21stpro.org.
prepschool.org.
Mm-hmm.
Can call. They can stop in. What we will be doing once enrollment come around in January, open house.
Oh, okay.
We will publicize that in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And again, word of mouth, you know, if we continue to be successful and be innovative, that word will spread just from parents with their kids there to their friends. And the kids that keep talking to theirs. So, you know, like I said, I want to make it the best school and the best example of education and preparing our kids for when they leave us to be ready for our USD and then college and career. So it's going to be fun. And I'm looking forward to just what the future holds. It's limitless or unlimited.
Right.
So, hey, they say shoot for the moon, land for the stars. I'm shooting for Pluto so I can land on one of the other planets.
Well, thank you very much for being with us. Shebaniah Muhammad, Executive Director at 21st Century Preparatory School in Racine. We appreciate you having or being here with us on Parkside today.
All right. Thank you for having me. And I look forward to just what we're going to keep creating with the partnership with UW Parkside. Some great things for the summer will be happening with that too.
Great. Thank you.